Let's take a break from the headlines, shall we? With pie. Black bottom peanut butter cloud pie, very fig and walnut pie, butterscotch nut custard pie. Let's go to Pie Academy with Ken Heydrich, who had us in the opening lines of his new Pie Academy cookbook with your dough cracks and falls apart. It sticks to your counter like super glue. Your pies are too ugly to bring out in public. I feel your pain. You've come to the right place. I can help. Oh, Ken Heydrich, where were you last Thanksgiving? But food writer and cookbook author Ken Heydrich is here now. His new book includes 255 different fillings, gluten-free dough, instructions on mailing. Ken Heydrich, welcome.
Hi, Robin. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, you're here in the nick of time. And let's just get right to it. Let's say hypothetically, either, you know, maybe a friend of mine sometimes uses that dough that's in the refrigerator section of the store. It's pre-made, or you can get it frozen in a tin in the freezer. If you buy that, what are you missing in not making your own?
Now, you're asking for a friend, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Hypothetically.
I try not to be critical of anybody's choices when it comes to pie. So if you choose or your friends choose to use a different type of crust, that's fine. However, you're missing the fun of making your own pie crust. You know, to get your hands down into those raw ingredients, that cool butter and that flour, and to cut those ingredients together, I mean, that's really good, simple fun, and I love doing it. And then there's the flavor, because if you're starting with good, fresh ingredients, your flour, your butter, a packaged crust is never going to taste as good as that.
Okay, well, give us the best tips for what to do with it, because it does sometimes end up gooey in your hands or stuck to your counter. You know, let's say that the fat we're going to use is butter in a crust, and you say you cut it into cubes. We know that. This is before we're going to cut it into the dry ingredients, the flour. And you say dust those cubes in flour.
I do a couple of things. I actually dust the plate where I'm going to put the cubes of butter, and then I like to toss the butter in the flour, because you know how butter gets when you start handling it. It gets a little sticky, yeah. and gummy. It just keeps your hands from getting all gummy real quick.
Then we know we need to work quickly with dough that's been chilled. When you're cutting the fat in, how else do you keep it from just getting too gooey?
Well, at any point, you know, and this is a very common thing, especially if somebody is a new pie maker, either when they're cutting in the fat or when they start to roll it, it does start to, you know, warm up. It is butter after all, and the more you handle it, the more it's going to start to loosen up. But at any point, you got to remember, you can take that whole bowl along with your dough cutter and stick the whole thing right in the refrigerator, and that'll give you time to chill. Literally and figuratively, and then go back to it.
Rolling it out, you say, do it on wax paper, and then use the wax paper to carry what you've rolled out over to put in the pie plate. But also, you have a mixing fork?
It looks like a big fork that you'd use when you're carving a turkey or something like that. And it has just the right spacing between the tines and just the right sort of arch or curve to the tines. I think King Arthur Flour sells one. It's just a nice tool to have when you're making dough by hand.
Okay. Well, you have 23 different kinds of crusts. There's pretzel crust, Oreo crust, a cottage cheese pie dough. But if you just want to make some apple pies and maybe some, you know, pecan pies, pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving, what's the best crust?
Yeah, right at the front of the crust section, there's how to make a perfect pie dough by hand, and that's where I would start. There's two very basic crusts up front. One is making it in the food processor, and one is making it by hand. Knowing that this is the thing that really trips people up the most, we have a pretty extensive section, an extended tutorial at the front of the book about how to cut the ingredients in, how to handle the dough, how to roll it and get it in the pan. So, you know, start with one of those basic crusts.
Right, and it just is, it seems like flour, butter, water, you know, pretty basic. Okay, so let's move to the pies. We listed, I mean, there's just an amazing amount. But let's just say you're doing a fruit pie. Tips, fresh or frozen, unripe fruit or ripe, what do you suggest?
Well, this time of year, you know, everyone wants to know what type of apple is the best type of apple to use. I always say don't worry too much about what type of apple, as long as you don't use Red Delicious, which really doesn't live up to its name. You know, Galas, Fuji, things like that, definitely use fresh fruit. And one of the things I love to do with my fall fruit pies is add pears to them. pears adds this beautiful floral, you know, flavor to them and aroma. And for Thanksgiving pie, I'm liable to throw in some cranberries, too. That adds nice tartness and color. In the winter, I like to use frozen fruit, like if I want a berry pie. Definitely use, you know, frozen blueberries or something like that. But this time of year, fresh fall fruit, the later it gets, I like to use frozen fruit in my winter pies.
What is blind baking, and when do you use that?
Blind baking refers to a process where you actually pre-bake the crust for a little bit. And you do this because oftentimes you have like a moist filling, like a custard filling or even a pumpkin pie filling. If you put that into a raw, fully uncooked dough, it's going to saturate. The dough is going to come out wet. So you do this process called blind baking where you actually partially pre-bake the crust and helps prevent against that soggy crust syndrome.
I've done that with savory pies, but I didn't know that's what it was called. And you fill that crust that you're baking with like beans or something to weigh it down and bake it just a little bit. What about venting, either on the top or pricking holes in the bottom of a pie crust?
Yeah, the venting in the top crust is pretty important. And the main purpose of that is to just let off a little steam so the crust doesn't split around the side seam. But also, when I make vents in the top of the pie, I like to put several right next to the edge. And the reason I do that is I like to check the juices there later. After about 45 minutes to an hour, you should be able to see thick juices coming up through that hole. That means your thickener has worked and the pie filling is done.
And how about when you're baking? Do you find, too, as my friend does, that the fluted edges of the pie, they get so brown. I mean, do you aluminum foil them earlier in the process so that they don't cook as fast?
You can. You can buy these little gadgets that'll help protect that edge like that, or you can take these little foil strips and connect them and use that to cover that part of your pie. I never worry too much about it because in the grand scheme of things, that's probably only about 5 or 10% of your pie real estate. So it's not something to get too concerned about.
Yeah. And this time of year, I think it's just such great advice. You talk about mailing pies. With so many of us aren't going to be able to see people who expect that, you know, walnut pie or whatever. So how do you mail it?
Well, first of all, you have to decide, should you mail it? And you know, if you're talking about your double crust apple pie or something like that, it's hardly worth mailing because after 2-3 days wrapped in plastic and that sort of thing, the top crust isn't going to be very great, and the pie is past its prime. So you have to start by picking the right type of pies, and that usually the more durable ones, like the pecan pie, that's really a great one to ship. Obviously, you don't want to send a creamy pie like that because those won't hold up. Say you want to ship your pecan pie or pecan pie, you put it in the freezer the night before. You take it out of there, really wrap it up good in plastic wrap, and then get a big box with lots of padding on all sides. And that pie should arrive in good shape.
And by the way, you know, pies. Have you seen the Broadway show Waitress, in which pies are elevated to almost a religious item?
Yeah, I know about it. No, but I haven't had the opportunity to see it yet.
Well, do you agree? I mean, there's something about not just making pies, but thinking of different ways you can make pies, which you do here, the many different things you can do.
Well, you know, the thing about pie is it goes beyond religion. It goes beyond politics. It doesn't matter where you worship, who you live with, or anything else. You know, pie brings people together. Pie is poetry that makes the world a better place, I like to say. You put a pie in the middle of a table, and all of a sudden, people's differences fall away. It's just magic.
Well, Ken Heydrich, we have to say you had the highest recommendation. We see right here the endorsement on the back of the book from Here and Now resident chef Kathy Gunst, who says,
yes,
roll up your sleeves, roll out the dough, get baking. You're in good hands with Pie Academy. Ken Heydrich, that's the name of the book, Pie Academy. Master the perfect crust and 255 amazing fillings with fruits, nuts, creams, custards, ice cream, and more. Ken, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. I really appreciate it.